Welcome to the Technori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Today's show is brought to you by ActiveCampaign. See why 100,000 plus businesses use ActiveCampaign every single day for their marketing by going to activecampaign.com/technori. Get your first 2 months for free on me. Today's show, Ben Jones, founder, CEO of Ohi. If you are a person who is like me, you are ridiculously impatient. And I would say that I've always been impatient. Although, when it comes to packages and shipping and buying, I kind of think my patience was similar to yours, is sort of determined by what's available. I'll give you an example. So if I buy something on any website, let's say eBay even, and I want it today, am I willing to pay $10 more? Yes. $20 more? Maybe. Depends on the urgency. $20+ more? Not a fucking chance. And until Amazon came around and promised things like same day delivery, next day prime, next minute, if you want to do it with a drone, that basically changed the game for everyone. Now we all expect, myself probably most included in this, everything now. I want everything immediately. But honestly, not many places not named Amazon, Walmart, Target can operate that way. Any small business, any mom and pop, any Shopify, unless they're doing their production and delivery through one of these gigantic channels, they pretty much can't compete. They would lose money every single day that they tried to ship at the same cost. So they jacked the price up to the point where you're not going to buy there anyway. And so they need an answer. And I think I found the answer. It's called Ohi. And it is basically a decentralization and creation of remote fulfillment centers designed to help every single smaller operation provide same day delivery, one day delivery. And it's pretty simple. I mean, Ben goes into it, so I'll spare you the whole spiel. But if you just want to put in context, as you set up for this podcast, it is essentially me finding people who have room to store inventory in their location, in the areas that we want to do business. So my business is based in Delaware, naturally, and I want to ship things to La Jolla, California. It's going to take a couple days and a lot of money. But instead, I actually have the main product stored in La Jolla at an office that has tons of space. And when orders come in, it ships from La Jolla. It ships from my remote fulfillment center. And now as a mom and pop, I would have no idea how to do that, how to build it, how to store it, how to run it, how to manage it, but they do. So Ohi provides them with a platform to do that. And oh, by the way, Ohi also provides a platform to all of these people who have a bunch of space available to store inventory. So if that's you running a Shopify company, this podcast is for you. This is my interview with Ohi founder and CEO, Ben Jones. I mean, obviously, we're dealing with crazy, crazy times. I mean, it's like, well, we could have a whole show talking about the impact of COVID and the supply chain and shipping and just everything in the world. But I actually think that your business in this time and place, not only is it vitally important, but it actually could be a really transformational moment for your type of business, where companies that previously never really thought of their using their facilities to store anything, like that just wasn't a thing that maybe they thought of. And now it's a very obvious, solution for them, as well as potentially helping the entire supply chain system, logistics system. I'd just love to hear your kind of take on what you're seeing right now in the industry. And then obviously we'll dive into what Ohi does and the whole nine yards.
Yeah, it's you're right. It's a really crazy time in the world with so many changes happening in terms of how it's relating to delivery and where consumers are buying their goods. Obviously a ton more demand is going towards e-commerce, and the trend that, you know, has been going on over the last decade of increased e-commerce volume, you know, has suddenly caught up massively to where it should be. And I think we'll find that post-coronavirus crisis, people will still be shopping a lot more online than they did before. People that historically had never done it will now be used to doing it. And a lot more volume will be going to e-commerce. And then within that e-commerce volume, what we're seeing is a lot of brands suddenly realizing that they need same day. And this was a trend. The move towards same day and on-demand delivery was definitely happening prior to now, we've seen, you know, Amazon and Walmart and Target all moving towards same day delivery over the last year. But coronavirus has suddenly made it obvious to everybody that when consumers are not happy waiting 3 to 5 days to get something, you know, they when you're sat at home and you want something, you really want it now. And so e-commerce is quickly replacing physical retail and shopping in the store. And to do that effectively, you need same day. So we've seen, you know, a huge, huge growth in demand over the last month or so, driven by those two changes.
It's super interesting that you phrase it that way. And a couple of items in there that I want to unpack a little bit, pun unintended. On this podcast, a couple months ago, we had the head of Uber Freight, Sagar Shah, on the show, and they were kind of talking about, you know, all of the things that we're going to talk about and more. But one of the things that came up in that conversation is sort of Amazon changing our behavior as a consumer in such a way that the expectation now of basically, like, if I have a choice between three different sources, and one is one day, same day, next day, and the other one is 2 days, 3 days, and the other one is, you know, even a week, it is not even a question which one I'm picking. And in fact, I would actually pay more money for today versus tomorrow and definitely versus a week. And that's changing, I think, a couple of things. I think one, the consumer part of it is an obvious no-brainer. You mentioned that already. But it actually changes how we pay for shipping and how we look at shipping. And we've always looked at it as like you pay more money for getting it sooner. But in the past, when I saw the option for $60 or $90 on FedEx, I wasn't going to pay that ever. But now I'm so used to it that I probably wouldn't pay 90, you know, as a premium, but I would definitely pay 10 or 15 more, which off, mm-hmm. you know, off puts the price a little bit. And in reality, and this goes, this will probably lead into like what your company does specifically and how you got there. You know, Amazon jumped into this basically knowing that it's going to be at a loss. They're going to figure out how to deliver it. They're going to promise same day, next day, and they're just going to have every single person working the line to get that done or as close to as they can, no matter what it cost them, until they figured out how to automate it and get it down to a more systematic approach that would be profitable. What we have found talking to companies, whether that's Amazon, Uber, you, or even Food Supply, you know, talking to Tavala and Home Chef and some of these others, is that with the exception of an Amazon who can afford to have a gigantic facility in every major area and, you know, extended facilities in the regional areas, almost every other competitor had no choice if they wanted to participate but to go and use Amazon's infrastructure. And now, mm-hmm. with everybody using Shopify and that becoming kind of a common buyer-consumer system at this point, I think that all these companies are sort of scratching their heads as to, like, how do they keep up with it? And how would that even work? And that leaves you guys right there on the doorstep telling, like, listen, this is a network no different than, I mean, this is a bad analogy probably, but, like, you know, data towers. You know, you look at, like, mm-hmm. the local areas that you drive through rural Wisconsin and you can't talk to anybody and you wonder why. It's because you don't see any towers. And now as they start to drop these towers and drop landlines, you're getting better connectivity all across the world. The same exact thing is in the physical form of having storage and getting product in certain areas. So I'd love you to walk us through obviously what you guys do, but the origin story.
Yeah. And I'll just say that what you're saying is absolutely why Ohi exists, in that no individual brand can afford to do what Amazon has done. You know, no individual brand can build that infrastructure there that Amazon has done to enable it to do same day and next day delivery at low enough cost. You need a service like Ohi to aggregate all these different brands together to enable them all to do same day delivery at very low cost. And the kind of beauty of our system is we can do same day, even 2 hour delivery. That's our most popular choice. Most people choose 2 hour delivery right now. We can do that for pretty much the same cost that it costs an e-commerce brand to do 3 to 5 day delivery. And so they don't even need to charge the customer more if they don't want to. There is some willingness to pay on the customer end, but generally people offer free same day delivery yep. using our network. So what you're saying is absolutely right. That need for in the market exists, and that's what Ohi is filling. I'm very happy to talk about the origin story. So it's kind of funny because I was in a very similar situation to how a lot of people find themselves today, which I find fascinating, in that I was stuck at home. I couldn't go anywhere. I was very, very restricted in terms of what I could do. And that was because I'd had a really bad back injury. I didn't have coronavirus. I had a really bad back injury. And that meant that I was paralyzed for a period of time. I was literally bedbound paralyzed. Oh. And it took me 16 months to recover from that.
Good God.
And like I say, during that time, I couldn't go out. I couldn't do anything. And so physical retail was off limits to me. I had to order everything online. And this was back in 2015. And it became a huge frustration of mine that I was like, I can order stuff on Amazon. And I'm British. And in the UK at the time, Amazon was next day. And Prime was next day. So I could order on Amazon, get it next day. But I order from all these other direct-to-consumer retailers who are really who I want to be shopping with as a millennial. And it takes 3 to 5 days for them to get to me. And it was so frustrating. And I think what's fascinating today is because of coronavirus, everybody else finds themselves in that same situation of physical retailers basically off limits. They're having to shop a lot more online. And they feel that same frustration. They're like, I'm reliant on e-commerce, and yet I'm having to wait 5 days, which, you know, because it's 5 working days, you end up taking a whole week for a product to come from some of these retailers. And as you say, you consumers end up looking towards services and retailers that are able to get them products that same day or within a matter of hours. So it was really that back injury and that frustration that I felt of how slow all these direct consumer brands were getting the product that led me to start OI.
First off, I'm happy that you're now able to go out and about. That's a good thing. I am not nearly as serious as that. I had a lumbar issue, I would say, probably going on about a decade now. And that was like 3 weeks of essentially being on my back and having no ability to move. And I had parents that could help out and I was, you know, nearby, but that wasn't an option then. You know what I mean? That wasn't even a thought. So it's just like, oh, I guess I'm going to live on water and whatever is near me. And that's life. We didn't even have we had streaming, but like, not really. It wasn't even like I could watch anything. I want to do a little sidebar here just because it's kind of interesting. This show is going to air, you know, I don't know, in a week or so. So the people listening to this will have known this from our email newsletter. We just hosted a leasing AMA with our partners at MB Real Estate. And one of the conversations that someone brought up, or the questions they brought up, was what happens after this like future of work exercise we're doing, which was unintended, but Corona has basically given us a global testing mat for a remote lifestyle. And one of the things that has been identified, and this is on the commercial real estate, but it absolutely applies to you and the retail side, is, you know, the early people, well, I mean, early on the not technical side, the OGs, if you will, they had taken this approach of it's never going to happen. We could never do this kind of work without being in the same room. And what has been proven is that that's just not true and that not everyone is meant for this, but it does work really well, sometimes better than even in the office, depending on what you do. And that there's a new comfort around it, and that a lot of the commercial real estate groups are going to have to rethink how they lease space, because companies after this, there'll be a gut reaction, but then there'll be a knee jerk reaction, but then there will be sort of a calm where people realize this is actually more efficient if in fact the infrastructure is quality in place and is, you know, has backups, if you will, safety protocols. The same conversation I was hearing, for the last 5 years, but even the last 2 years, of retailers saying, you know, and I'm going to make a joke here a little bit about TJ Maxx, or I'm sorry, about Toys R Us, but like Toys R Us versus Best Buy. So Toys R Us forever had this big box that people expected their kids to come into, and they really left it unattended. They basically just said, hey, it's a big box and you can come and play with toys and, you know, but they actually don't want you to. And it failed miserably when they had the opportunity to create a space that was meant for experiences and then let people buy. Best Buy, on the other hand, has taken the approach that you can buy from us direct on our website. In fact, we would recommend it. If you want to come in and tinker with all of our electronics, come on in. If you want to order and pick up, you can do that. That's not a thing we really do. Now, after this, they will absolutely be doing that. They're operating exceptionally well at the local Best Buy here where I'm at, where I can place an order online at that store and drive up in minutes and they drop the item off. And that is a tiny example of how your system can work if all of these different places are using sort of, whether it's their own location as a shipping sort of hub, or it's using other spaces as a shipping hub, which I want to get into next is the other spaces mm-hmm. part of this. Mm-hmm. I really think that a major change is going to happen right now because all of the people who previously said, no, I got to go to the store to get it. That's going to change forever as soon as this is over, because every single person will have gotten a taste of what it's like to not have to go to a store.
Correct.
And I think that was the thing that was needed.
And go on. Finish your thought. Sorry.
No. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I was going to say, I completely agree. And we saw this trend happening before this as well, this move towards retail becoming more experiential. And so what we've seen already, particularly amongst the direct-to-consumer e-commerce brands that we serve, is their physical retail store was quickly turning really into a showroom. Mm-hmm. And you go there, it's really just about experiencing the brand and trying things on, like engaging with the brand, like building that community. But then there was no product held there. Everyone would still order online and get delivered to their home. And we were enabling that in a lot of ways, because the customer experience is you're in the store, you order via an iPad, and it's delivered to wherever it is you want it delivered to in 2 hours. And we saw that trend happening even before this. And I think you're absolutely right that now you'll firstly find these retailers who were traditional bigger box retailers sat on all this real estate that now far fewer people are actually coming to shop at. And they're saying, well, how can we repurpose this? Like, what do we turn this into to be productive? And the answer is obviously for online fulfillment. And so we will see this shift, and you know, something that Ohi's platform is enabling as well, is seeing this shift towards, like you say, all types of new spaces being used for fulfillment in a way that really just it wasn't being done before. And physical retail becoming much more about you go in and you experience the brand. No one wanders around a 15,000, 20,000 square foot flagship store on Fifth Avenue. Now, you know, people are looking for smaller experiential spaces to understand what they want to buy, and then they'll order online and get it delivered to them within a few hours. I think that's how physical retail will look in a year or two's time.
And I think what happened now is just going to make that, you say a year or two's time, it might be sooner, it might be, you know, about the same. I actually mm-hmm. think prior to this, I think it was going to be longer than that before you saw real movement. I mean, one of the, just as a context piece, several years ago, it's like 2014, I saw a deck circulate for Drive Time, which is now Carvana. And I remember thinking, this is so brilliant and so obvious. And I don't know how long it'll take before it works like a charm, but I had a conversation. It's almost unimaginable that you'd be talking to a used car salesman about innovation. But I remember telling him, like, he owns a Chevy dealership here in town. And I remember saying to him, you know, I would spend some time reading up on supply chain and reading up on sort of how you could use your lot and your inventory to source for the buyers that are online that are going to pick up. You're just a parking lot. And yeah, people can drop by and buy a car if they want to, but that's not your primary business. And it's almost unimaginable to him that a family business of almost, you know, 65 years or whatever it is, would now basically be a parking lot for cars to be shipped and bought by other people. That was not, you know, it's almost a wholesaler model. That's not what he had in mind. And now, if I'm not mistaken, that's one of their primary use cases. So if you could share, you know, that's an example of somebody who kind of owns, they're in that business, they own cars, they sell cars. But in your case, I'd love to learn more about how you guys are leveraging, you know, unused space as mm-hmm. shipment facilities.
Yeah. And so there's two different models that we follow. The first is where we will take over a dedicated space. So these are generally unused commercial spaces, you know, retail spaces or in office buildings that have been sat empty for a long time. And this is space that is really dead space within a city. And so we'll go in and repurpose that and turn that into a micro warehouse very, very close to the end customer. And that's what enables us to do that very fast, low-cost delivery is getting that inventory very close to the end customer. And so we repurpose these dead spaces, and I think we'll see a ton more of those dead spaces over the next year, as unfortunately I think we'll see, you know, a lot of businesses in trouble, particularly bars and restaurants, and there's going to be a lot of this real estate available. The second way that we use our technology is by enabling existing spaces, existing locations with inventory to fulfill online orders. And so there we can use either the client's stores or other spaces that they hold inventory in. So we work with some brewers, for example, that we use our tasting rooms now to fulfill online orders using our technology. And so we can repurpose these other spaces that traditionally were used just for physical retail or just for, you know, like say a brewery, but for a tap room and selling it there and then, where these retailers can now use those locations to also fulfill online orders for an area, you know, a wider area around that facility. And so those are the two kind of models that we follow at the moment. And, you know, we're steering much more towards that platform model of enabling all these other spaces to become e-commerce fulfillment hubs.
What's so fascinating about that is, and again, we're dipping into this like future of work conversation. The reality that like, even a couple of years ago, I spent some time in commercial real estate prior to sort of the entrepreneurial journey. And I remember looking at subleases and people, you know, just, we've got a space, we're not using this amount of the space right now, so we're going to sub it out to a small company of 3, 6, 8, 10 people, whatever it is. And in the future, if you see more people in a remote sort of location for work, or automation comes in and there's not as many people working in certain, you know, capacities as they used to, there's a lot of unused space. And I think a lot of those who are in the position of owning those buildings or leases, there's some concern, particularly now, but even before this, about necessarily figuring out how they would use it. And would they be able to sub it out? And now I look at what you do and I think, I can't wait to send this podcast to all of these guys that I know who are in the space rental and ownership business, because they are all in a great spot to sub out their space just like they used to do for people, but now it's for a completely different purpose. It's a storage facility. And I think it's really unique. And I actually think, aside from the competitive advantage of offering same day delivery, I actually think financially, it stands to have a gigantic impact on smaller operation businesses that, you know, can't compete with the volume of an Amazon selling product or a volume of a big box, but they can offset a lot of the revenue by being a facility.
Correct. Correct. Exactly. And we believe that, you know, some of these spaces, the economic value of the orders that are processed through them and what a person could make by owning and running one of these spaces is far higher than if they were just renting out for people. And so for lots of businesses, like I think as e-commerce grows, these spaces will become the most profitable thing that you could do with this space.
I guess the adage goes location, location, location. Couldn't be more true. It matters exactly 100%. Where your building is. Tell me, so how big is the market? Not necessarily just for you guys, but just in general for like, if you were to serve all of the, you know, let's just say it's the mom and pops and or Shopify run businesses, the e-commerce businesses that are not Amazon per se, how much opportunity is there? I feel like it's got to be just absolutely ginormous.
Oh, it's gigantic. I don't have the exact number off the top of my head, but when we last did our fundraising last summer, it was something like $150 billion market, addressable market just in the US. So, you know, we see this as a huge opportunity, and warehousing and fulfillment generally is one of those industries that has been untouched by tech for so long. And that started to change over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, but it's still very, very old school. And there's a massive opportunity for someone like Ohi to come in and really fundamentally change how people have thought about warehousing and logistics. You know, really, the current way of thinking, the old way of thinking, has been the case for the last 60 years. It really hasn't changed a lot. And so we see a huge potential to change. I often kind of compare us in a way to what Airbnb did to the hotel industry, in that you had that old world of hotel stays, and then you had various companies that emerged trying to optimize hotel space. So your Hotel Tonight's, Trivago's, trying to fill spare capacity in hotels. And then Airbnb came along and said, hey, there's actually a way better way of doing hotel stays using people's spare bedrooms, and created a market that arguably is much bigger than the original hotel industry was. I see us doing something very similar, where that old world of warehousing, like I say, hasn't really changed in 60 years. You've seen some new companies emerge over the last 4 to 5 years that are doing that, optimizing, filling a new space within those warehouses, trying to optimize that old network. Really what OHI is building is this alternative network saying, hey, there's actually a better way of doing warehousing, which is using unused space within cities and turning those into micro fulfillment centers. And for us, like, we see that in the same way that Airbnb did to that hotel industry, as having the potential to massively increase the addressable market, both because it encourages more people to use e-commerce, and it encourages many more of these businesses that, like I say, were traditionally physical store-based businesses to move towards online and selling much more online as well.
That's a terrific analogy. I totally agree with you. I think that what you're doing, I think, is so unique, because instead of just riding on top of, you know, basically saying we're going to prop up local fulfillment centers, rather we're going to arm people with the ability to do this with their own spaces. It makes it economically more compelling. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be a huge mover. So you had mentioned sort of a software approach to this. How walk me through a little bit how you would actually engage me. If I had I run an office out of a building where I now have enough space and it would work for all of the needs. Let's just say location is where you want it. How would it work to engage with you?
Yeah. So really, like I say, our platform is a technology. We're really a technology platform. And so the things that we would do there would be looking at, we would use our data sets to understand the demand for your product in a given area, and, you know, and use that to help you understand whether your location was optimal or not, and if there were other spaces that we had that would be optimal in order to reduce delivery costs as much as possible. We would encourage you to use those. But if your space was in the perfect position to serve the demand around you, it's very simple. We really install our technology in your location. It's all done by an iPad and is, you know, very easy to use. We install your technology, we understand what inventory is there, and then we link through to your e-commerce website. And when consumers come to your website and add items to their basket, they'll see as a delivery option, same day delivery from OHI or 2-hour delivery from OHI, and they'll be able to select that option. It'll push the order through to your location. You'll be notified, you'll be able to pick and pack. And then we work with various last mile delivery providers to then deliver that to the end customer. So awesome. We'll work with, you know, the Postmates, the FedEx Same Day, the Relays of the world to do the delivery.
The network effect that is taking place now that we have sort of data mapping of everything is honestly, it's almost too crazy to comprehend. I mean, I remember being I went to Northwestern for grad school between the real estate and my life now. And I took a class called Leveraging Networks. And at the time I knew it was a big deal for me, because once I recognized it, every business I've been in since has been a part of that. But I don't think I quite understood the impact of the network. Cause I was thinking, you know, at the time, social network and connecting human beings and how to leverage a network to get, you know, whatever sales or whatever. The reality is the entire world is a gigantic network, and it could be a network of refrigerators, it could be a network of people, it could be a network of offices, it could be a network of whatever you want. Even farmland. We had a company on Tillable that's basically doing exactly what you're doing for farmland and saying, hey, you know, it'd just be easier if only the best land for the best, you know, harvest during the best season were being used properly. It is a changing world in such a crazy way. And it's so cool to talk to companies like yours, because I think that you guys are literally on the tip of the charge that will completely change how people buy and shop. And they just don't realize it. They have no idea that you make that possible. Very interesting.
And I genuinely believe that in 3 years' time, we as consumers are going to look back and say, how on earth did I ever put up with 2-day delivery or 3-day delivery? Like, why did I ever think that was acceptable, that it took that long for something to get to me when I ordered it online? And that move towards instant commerce and the ability to order anything, anywhere, really at any time, is what we're enabling. And that's really our mission, is to enable this world where it's as simple as a click of a button, and an hour or two later, the product's in your hand.
I mean, the coronavirus is obviously going to be looked at as an accelerant to this at some point. But can you think, I mean, I can't. Can you think of any other consumer behavioral change that was so rapid, as rapid that, like, I mean, it wasn't long ago that Amazon dropped the same day delivery as a thing you can do. And everyone's like, oh, well, I mean, I guess if I'm in a hurry. And now we are right on the edge of it being the expectation. Anything short is like a poor performance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I can recall.
Yeah, that I can't think. I'm sure there must be examples there where consumer behavior flipped almost overnight, but I can't think of them now. But this is certainly one of those occasions where, you know, within a matter of months, what would have been a 2 or 3 year journey, it has happened in a couple of months.
How have you guys handled this whole COVID thing? Is it a great opportunity? Does it slow you down? Does it, like, how, obviously the end game is that there should be more opportunity given the space that you mentioned before, but has it accelerated your growth or your sort of innovation process?
Oh yeah, it's accelerated massively. So I think we are doing three times the volume, or we did three times the volume in March that we'd done in February. So, you know, it was a huge jump, and that's been maintained, you know, through these first couple of weeks of April when we're recording this. And we are seeing so many brands coming to us, looking to work with us, that we're having to say no to some, you know, some that we don't think are going to be the ideal partners we're having to say no to. And so, it's been a crazy journey. I think the thing that makes it especially difficult when you're growing that quickly is making sure that everyone stays safe. Like, we obviously have physical people in these locations that are picking and packing, yep, and then real people who are delivering these products. And so we did it very early on. Our chief of staff she's Chinese, and she has friends who were in Wuhan, and she said very early on, hey, this is going to be way worse than anyone is thinking, given what's going on in Wuhan. And so very early on, we introduced different systems in the locations to make sure that people stayed at least at 2 meters apart to keep them safe. And then on the technical side, we very quickly put in place contactless pickup. So enabling delivery people to come to our locations and pick up the right orders without coming into contact with any of our staff. And then also contactless delivery. So enabling all the deliveries take place without the driver and the customer coming into contact with one another. So those are two things that we put in place from a technical standpoint very early on that have made sure that everyone stayed safe throughout the thing. And that's been the, you know, growing as quickly as we're growing whilst having to take account of what are, you know, very abnormal ways of human interaction has been very difficult, but a lot of it you can solve with technology, and the team's been brilliant at, you know, building those features to enable us to keep on delivering.
It's a brand new meaning for growing safely.
Yeah. New world. Yeah, absolutely.
Where do people go to learn more about this if you're a business trying to partner with you?
Yes, you can go to our website, which is shipohi.com, or you can email us at info@shipohi.com.
Very cool. Awesome. Ben, I appreciate it very much.
Thanks a lot.
Of course. DM me on Instagram or Twitter @Technori or @Katoon to invest in featured startups on the Startup Showcase live on WGN Radio, Saturdays from noon to 1. Go to technori.com. Boom. That's a wrap.